morning. It's 8:06 and you are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. What happens when you're arrested? And what do you do when you realize that your mugshot, your arrest photo, is a public document flying around blogistan for anyone to see? Our guest this morning, this is going to be a really amazing show. Our guest this morning is the editor of pdxmugshots.com. Hey, how are we going to call you, guest? Do you have an alias that you want us to call you?
Oh, Barry will work fine.
Okay, Barry. Barry, tell us about pdxmugshots.com. How long have you been there? How long has it been operating? And what do you do?
I guess it was early April of this year that I put it together. It's a little program that, you know, downloads the data from the Multnomah County site, reorganizes it into a gallery, and up it goes, you know.
It pulls it straight from the Multnomah County Sheriff's Department website, where all these photos are also posted up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it mostly reorganizes it into a gallery type thing. It's kind of started after I had a friend who was, frequently going to jail, and I kind of wanted to make a calendar of all his various mugshots. I thought it'd be a hilarious present. and it was kind of a pain going on there all the time to find them. So that's kind of how I initially wrote the program. I didn't really expect it to become a big, fairly popular site, but that's what happened.
It is, though, and it's interesting, this issue of aside from all of the businesses and different kind of entities that grab galleries all over the country and put them onto different websites, the St. Petersburg, the daily newspaper in St. Petersburg, Florida, does the same thing, which is operated by the Poynter Institute. And I remember when they started doing that a couple of years ago, it touched off an uproar because people argued about it. And on these different kinds of websites, like mugshots.com, right, which is a national website, people have different points of view about what is the purpose of putting the websites online. But I have to say, there's also a weekly newspaper circulated in Portland. It's $1 a week, and you get it at your little handy mart there on the corner. It's got to be one of the only newspapers in the metro area that's got a growing circulation. So it's so interesting. Interesting, Barry. What is it that makes people want to scrutinize these mugshots? It's like you can't turn away. What is it about that, Barry?
Well, I think people some people actually look for themselves. Some people, you like to see your, there's that whole kind of twisted psychology where people like to see their friends and neighbors and family in kind of a vulnerable position almost, I think there's a bit of that, like, twisted psychology. You can do it privately, so, you don't feel too bad about it. But that's just kind of my thoughts on why those things are so popular.
And there's also a big argument about whether it's news or whether it's entertainment. But one of the things that strikes me about you, Barry, and you created this website, and I follow you on Facebook, and lately you've been posting observations that you've taken about crime and criminal activity and how certain things seem to play out in terms of people that make requests to get their mugshots taken down. People can make a request to get, first of all, we have to back up a minute and say, every time someone gets a mugshot posted on the Multnomah County or any sheriff's website, those people are not guilty of a crime until they're convicted. And you're very clear about that right at the very top of pdxmugshots.com. You're very clear about that. But some people are so horrified that their mugshots are out there in public, which actually a government agency does. You don't do that. I mean, you're just aggregating the information that's already out there. But Barry, people can go through a process to get their mugshot taken off the internet, can't they?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think it's I think that's 100% fair. I mean, I do think it is a little bit unfair when people do appear and they really haven't done anything, so I try to give people an out, and help them out as much as I can. So
it's interesting. How many hits do you get on pdxmugshots.com?
I don't know, let's see, this month or the past 30 days or so, I think it's around 55,000 60,000.
Okay.
And people stay there. They look at a lot of pages. So
you can't turn away.
Yeah.
So with Barry's website, pdxmugshots.com, you go there and there's a tiled sort of mosaic of photos of people. They're booking photos. And you click on each one and it brings up what the charges are. It's like the charge sheet that the sheriff's post. It's the sheriff's document that tells you what people were charged with, when, and what's the status of the case. And most of the time when people are first appearing there, and I think, Barry, your website kind of catches these photos right when someone, within the first few days of someone being booked. So most of the time on these pages, people, they haven't been convicted yet, or their case is still undecided.
Yeah, that's generally the scenario. I mean, some people have been, you know, there's people who are on work release kinds of things, mm-hmm. or they have to go back to jail at a later date. That happens quite frequently, too.
I just have to say, one of the things that fascinates me, and one of the reasons why, in my opinion, you know, what you're doing and what all these other mugshot aggregators are doing is totally newsworthy. It's kind of the kind of media that makes you think about the issues behind the criminal justice system. Is frankly, at my house, when we bring home the weekly, I think it's called Look Who's Busted weekly magazine, which is nothing but a tabloid newspaper that has mugshots listed, hundreds of mugshots, and sometimes they'll have fun with it, you know, the Beauty and the Beast, right? So they'll have a section with pretty women arrested, and like they'll pick out what they consider to be the ugliest people. But the thing that strikes me about it the most, Barry, is it's such an equalizer. I mean, you see all kinds of people on there, all kinds of people. And even the Oregonian editorial page editor, Bob Caldwell, was in there, you know. And to me, that's fascinating. So I just want to put this out to you, Barry. You must have changed your opinion about law enforcement or the process of how the criminal justice system works through starting this project this year. You must have changed your opinions about it. Have your opinions evolved?
You know, it's kind of strange. I feel like I've less changed my opinions about you know, like law enforcement, and more into the like the justice system, and you know, what certain laws are just really ridiculous, and you know what, you know, the whole process of what are we putting people in jail for? I do very much make an attempt to, you know, filter out things that, you know, I feel to kind of be victimless crimes. But, you know, like, you didn't do anything. If you're harming yourself, you're harming yourself. You don't, you know, deserve to be put in jail and then, you know, publicly scrutinized, you know, as opposed to, say, you know, someone who's breaking into people's houses. You know, there's a distinct difference that I try to draw there.
Wow, because you have a completely bird's eye view.
Yeah.
All of this traffic. What are some of the victimless crimes that you think that you filter out?
Any sort of drug possession type things. I try to filter out. Even prostitution to an extent. Someone did call me out on this one, and I refiltered it. I had it blocked. There's a charge, like I believe it's compelling prostitution, and you know, my filter just saw it as prostitution and filtered it out.
Oh, so it's like a pimp.
But that's like, okay, that's wrong. There's a victim there. Boom. Right. So I had to, you know, someone kind of called me out on that. I'm like, okay, yeah, those should be displayed, you know?
That's so interesting. Here's another one. Actually, I started paying more attention to these kinds of the magazine and the websites because friends of ours, family friends, had a teenage daughter who was a really good student, and she was a straight A student, and she was a senior, and she was getting ready to graduate and go to college, and she got popped for shoplifting something at the drugstore, like shoplifting a lipstick, like shoplifting something that was really small potatoes. And her picture, this is what happened with this girl's case. Her picture appeared in the Multnomah County Sheriff's website, and then a blogger, the family described him as a racist blogger, picked up her mugshot and put it on their blog, talking about how people of color are more inclined towards criminality. and the family hit the roof. And they basically, what they discovered that if you Googled this girl's name, that was the first thing that came up in the search results on the internet. And they were completely freaked out that it would destroy her opportunity to go to college. And as it turned out, I mean, this was a couple of years ago, as it turned out, the people at the college didn't care. It never had any impact on her. So she got a fantastic scholarship and went to a wonderful liberal arts college in a different part of the country, and she's totally happy. And but it was interesting. It never occurred to me what people go through to try to erase like mugshots or any kind of information like that from the internet. And one of the things the family said was they were approached by a company that charged $600 to scrub your internet reputation. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of that, and there is no real guarantee of that either. I think, you know, it's kind of funny. Some people take issues with my removal policies, and and here I am saying, oh, I think that's kind of sinister and sleazy.
Well, you know? It's just interesting. What is your removal policy? Do you have a policy? I'd love to hear it.
So basically, you know, when obviously if your charges have been dismissed, if you're found not guilty, that kind of thing, you email me, give me the details. I can go through the court records and do all that and say, oh yeah, they're right. For some reason, the court makes it very hard to automate that process, which is unfortunate. it's really easy to get the initial charges, but to automate the cross-referencing there is a little bit more difficult.
That's interesting to know.
But then I, you know, go through, I look at the stuff, okay, we're all good to go there, and I delete it, and, you know, usually try to send people a few tips on, because what happens is people's name pops up in Google on my site, and I try to send them tips like, hey, you know, set up as much social networking as possible, do stuff like that, that'll keep, you know, your profiles and stuff you control kind of in the higher range of Google there, and push guys like me down. I mean, it's true. But, so I do that. Otherwise, you know, if people just want it gone, if they don't want to contact me, they, you know, it tends to a lot of times be people who got popped for DUI, and, you know, they're going into diversion or whatever, they pay $29 to be removed.
Okay. And it sounds like it's actually quite a process to try to get them out of the database is what you're saying, too. You have to write a little bit of code, or?
No, it's the main process is research, you know.
Mm.
So.
Interesting.
So when people email me, I've got to, you know, go and look through all this stuff and be like, okay, are they lying to me? Are they not? You know, and most of the time, actually, it's kind of funny. When I used to not do this, you know. I used to not do the charging. I just pretty much removed anyone who emailed me. And I got so inundated with emails that I couldn't separate the wheat from the chaff, if you will. And as soon as I started charging for that, all of a sudden, my volume of emails went down. I could spend more time with the people who said, you know, hey, man, my charges were, you know, my charges were dismissed, you know. They ended up not lying to me. Meanwhile, the other people, they just paid the fee and, you know, didn't matter if they, you know, how their charges ended up. So it worked out really nice.
If you just tuned in, this is KBOO Community Radio. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and our guest this morning is Barry. He's the founder of PDXMugshots.com. And I wanted to open up the phone lines for people. It's a pretty new phenomenon. Websites and weekly newspapers that aggregate mugshot information. And I really love to hear from people who have seen, if you've seen your mugshot turn up in public, what did you think about it and what did you do about it? I suspect that there's a lot more people like me who are completely voyeurs about it, and I always am wondering about the stories behind the mugshot. So the number to call to share your story is 503 231 8180. 1-800-387-8787. And as I was saying a little bit earlier, the Poynter Institute, which is a journalism think tank in St. Petersburg, Florida, operates the St. Petersburg Daily newspaper there. And they, I think it was 3 years ago, started a website just like this, just like PDX mugshots, except, of course, it was about Florida, arrestees in Florida. And it was just a magnet for web traffic. But because it was linked to this think tank, it generated a huge debate about the ethics of putting mugshots online this way. And if you go to poynter.org, that's poynter.org, there's a lot of debate about the ethics of posting mugshots online, and it's completely fascinating. A lot of this debate happened last year. But one of the things that really strikes me about this whole issue, Barry, is that, frankly, I mean, when I started looking at this stuff, it made me think about, like you said, who is sucked into the system. It made me have deeper thoughts when I looked into the eyes of people who, you know, for good or ill, innocent or guilty, are the people that our tax money is paying to go through the system. And I know that I wanted to ask you, you've been posting a little bit lately about these domestic violence cases. It really raises a level of political awareness. And we do have a caller, but I wanted to go to you first, Barry. You know, what are some of the concerns that you've had with this trend that you've seen lately around domestic violence arrests and people who's convicted and who's not?
Oh, boy, the domestic violence thing. That caught me off guard. Not really something I was expecting. It's left me a little bit baffled and kind of feeling like there's a little bit of a dilemma here. I haven't seen a lot of repeats so far as people constantly getting multiple times getting arrested for domestic violence. I haven't seen that yet as far as people who email me and say the charges were dismissed, you know, where basically it's someone else not pressing charges, or a case where it's a really heated argument and police are there and they have to arrest someone even though, you know, there might not have been any actual physical harm. That becomes this whole tough thing where on one hand, you know, I like my policy of, you know, deleting people who have the charges dismissed because it's not fair for them to be on there. On the other hand, stop having these fights that draw the police, you know? I mean, get out of that situation. Get out, you know? And stop hitting each other. It's kind of an interesting dilemma that I just really find myself in with that. Because, you know, obviously domestic violence is a terrible, terrible thing. And, and you know, at what point am I facilitating it by removing people who are charged with it, you know, and that's kind of, you know, throwing up a little ethical roadblock for me there, where I'm kind of sitting there shrugging, going, "What do I do?"
It's completely fascinating. And we are opening up the phone lines 503-231-8187. If you've got a story about what happened when you saw your mugshot or someone that you know, or if you have any, if you read the mugshot website or newspaper regularly, if you have observations about what I always look for is, like, what are the trends in some of these crimes? I mean, sometimes I feel as though you can see trends in there. So we have Dave on the line. What do you think, Dave?
The first time I saw that, I saw busted, I thought, well, this is really funny. You know, here it is, these people look like they just got shot out of a cannon, or it's their worst day, deer caught in the headlights kind of look. And, you know, I just thought it was funny in that way. But then I realized, you know, it's really classist, because, you know, it's more like, hey, let's make fun of the poor white trash faces of meth people, you know. You don't see any CEOs in there.
We did see the editorial page editor of the Oregonian, Ed Caldwell, and there have been a couple of affluent people in there too, and you'll typically see them as DUIs, but when you look through the mugshots, you can't tell that. I only know that because I know these people, but I hear what you're saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I got my picture in there. I haven't been convicted of it yet, but I was charged with liberating some product from his capitalist oppressor, A.E. Whole Foods. And my picture was in there, and friends of mine saw it, and they told me, like, yeah, dude, you made it. You're in Boston. it was like, oh, like some kind of status. You've hit it. You've hit the big time. You're busted, you know? And, you know, the thing is, if somebody was going to hire me and they happened to see my picture in there, they probably wouldn't. Even though it was a very, you know, even though it's a very minimal, you know, misdemeanor charge, I'm in there, you know, in this photo gallery of all these other people that some of them were felons. But I see a lot of petty charges, people in there, and it could really wreck their life, you know?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Okay.
What do you think about that, Barry? I mean, I too, when I look at just, and I have to say, when we bring Look Who's Busted magazine home and put it on the kitchen table, every single solitary person in our household laboriously scrutinizes it. And sometimes we do it as a group, and sometimes you look through it over and over. I'm drawn to it like a magnet. And a lot of it, it just seems like to me, a lot of our law enforcement is sifting through really small-time offenses. I don't know. What's your take?
It really does seem to be the bulk of them. That, you know, it is these petty thefts, you know, shoplifting type things. I think, you know, I mean, that still is kind of something that law enforcement is obliged to enforce. You know, those are things like, I kind of have to arrest you. But that's a majority of things. As far as, you know, people appearing, I don't know, don't steal stuff. I mean, even if it's petty, it's just kind of, you know.
Yeah, and even without your website, that's on the Multnomah County Sheriff's website,
yeah,
too.
Any sort of thing will be in there in the Multnomah County one. So
it's interesting, too. And we do have another caller. The number to call, 503-231-8187. We have Brian on the line. Brian, what's going on?
Oh, not much. I just have two quick things. I think it's a great website. Just one question. I wonder, have you noticed, like with the economic downturn, like are there more people that seem to be coming up here, like for, you know, petty crimes and stuff? Have you noticed that, or can you tell?
Wow, that's a completely juicy question.
Yeah, that really is. And unfortunately, you know, I built this site in April, so the records only go back into April, and we've been in economic downturn for a little longer than that. So it's really, at least for me, with the data I'm working with, it's really hard to notice if that's a trend or not, which is, you know, kind of unfortunate, because I'm also kind of a data junkie for, you know, spotting those kind of weird things.
That's really interesting.
But it's only been since April, so they're really I don't have a long enough time frame to work with there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting over time to see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. Brian, you have another question too.
Well, actually, a comment on your website. It looks like your links are broken. It's looking at a relative URL, and it's adding like /2. It's just making that the URL. So I just want to let you know you should fix that.
Oh, you digital people.
I was doing a little work on the site, and it looks like I kind of screwed something up.
That's funny.
I want to make you aware of that. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks a lot, Brian.
Take care.
Thanks, Brian.
That's so funny, the digital people out there and the things that we take a look at. And I have to say again, this is KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and we're live on the phone with Barry. He's the editor and the creator of PDXmugshots.com. We're talking about this trend of mugshots online or mugshots in weekly newspapers that people read through. And what are the ethical issues? What are the potential opportunities that we have as taxpayers to see trends in how law enforcement carries out arrests, and what impact do those arrests have on our community? But also, I mean, to me, as I look through some of these, I think, you know, why is that against the law? Aren't there limits? If somebody like Dave does liberate some merchandise from the capitalist oppressor, is there like a threshold for how much that merchandise is worth before someone's arrested? And somebody called in Barry and asked, were the police officers that got arrested for DUI on your website? I don't know if they weren't arrested in Multnomah County. I don't think so. But what's your take on that?
If they were arrested for DUI and they were booked into the jail, they would appear. I know one of them, I cannot remember their names. I believe one of them did. The other one was taken to like some sort of like holding facility in Gresham, so they never went through the full mugshot booking process type thing. So
That isn't that I the know. Interesting part of it yeah. as well, is a lot of people think either you're arrested or you're not, but there's processes. It's like sometimes you can be taken into custody but not booked, or you yeah. know, some of this stuff is really very interesting.
Yeah, yeah, that's that happens quite a bit. People email me, how come this guy's not on here? I don't know. You know, that's
so about the police officers, at least one of them did show up, but not the other.
Yeah, yeah, because I think, let's see, I'm trying to think which guy it was. One of them did show up, but
yeah,
that was a few months back. My memory's a little bit foggy here.
Barry, like, so looking at a few months back, I mean, how many mugshots filter through your fingers? I mean, thousands?
Well, I've, you know, started crawling to other surrounding counties here. So, yeah, it's in the probably about 500 a day type thing.
Jeez, yeah. That's amazing.
Something like that.
So the number to call to participate in this chat we're having about mugshots and public mugshots, the number to call, 503-231-8187. Barry, you know, on pdxmugshots.com, you have a blog role that seems to sort of finger you as being kind of a libertarian kind of guy. You've got the Portland police, it says most of the time, we like them most of the time, or what have you. ACLU, Jack Boggs blog, my favorite local blogger, even if he thinks I'm a sinister sleaze. Portland Mercury, Oregonian police scanner, which is really interesting if anybody ever listens to that. It's kind of creepy. You listen to the Oregonian police scanner, and it makes you realize how much news you never see in the Oregonian, actually, to be yeah. honest with you. But things about Portland that suck. You have a disclaimer at the top. These mugshots are considered public record and were found on Multnomah County Jail website. Click the images for a large picture with name and charges. Portland, Oregon is awesome. I feel like you're kind of a little bit ambivalent about the work that you're doing here. I mean, is there any part of it that keeps you up at night, or, you know, what's your take on that?
You know, no. There's no part that really keeps me up. I try to be lighthearted about it. What it kind of came down to is, you know, I mean, I basically originally just kind of built it for myself, you know, and then it kind of took on a life of its own. I realized it's, you know, revenue potential and things like that, and then I kind of turned it into a little bit of a business type thing. And, you know, I really, you know, I weighed a lot of ethical implications, and kind of what I came down to this is, I loved it when a friend of mine helped me justify it too with his own reasoning. I realized, you know, if I'm not doing this, someone else will be, and they're probably not going to be as nice as me, or, you know, have my same outlook on things. So who better to do it?
Oh, and on that note,
I can trust myself.
Yeah, on that note, I do want to bring this up, that there's another website that's called mugshots.com. It's a national website. And now this is an older institution as well. It's been around for some few years. Yeah. And this is definitely does not have an ambivalent or libertarian take on any of this at all. Mugshots.com, which is different from pdxmugshots.com, they are throwing these mugshots out there, national database of mugshots, encouraging readers to, quote, help track down criminals from your county, encouraging people to call up their sheriffs about the mugshots that they see. And interestingly enough, they have about 10 years out of date Multnomah County officials' contact information with Diane Lynn and, you know, Lonnie Roberts, people who haven't sat in a desk in the county office building in, like, 7 or 8 years. And that's really interesting to me as well. And so, in fact, there are other people out there doing this very thing. And when we look at the weekly street newspaper, Look Who's Busted, which is completely not affiliated with PDX Mugshots, that is definitely a way more mocking and gleeful kind of take on the entire phenomenon of digital, I don't know, it's like your digital record is out there.
Yeah, you know, I 100% disagree with the sensationalizing, you know, that, you know, I am addicted to Busted myself, you know, but at the same time, I really disagree with that whole, you know, who's hot, who's not, you know. I try to make the site, you know, at least my site, just as, you know, in that regard, as ambivalent as possible. Here's the people who got arrested, boom. You know, I don't like to offer commentary on the people, and And I've had a lot of people say, hey, how come you can't have a vote for your, you know, favorite mugshot or leave comments about him? You know, I don't want to be responsible for that. That brings out kind of the pitchfork mentality, you know, and I don't want that on my site. There's other sites that do that, and I the same thing. I'm, you know, very voyeuristic. I'm ashamed to say that I enjoy reading them, but I feel that they're wrong, you know. It's something that I prefer myself to keep out of as far as offering any sort of commentary on the people who appear. I don't want that.
It's interesting, too, and we do have a caller. The number to call is 503-231-8187. We have Don on the line. Don, have you ever been arrested? Have you ever seen your mugshot anywhere?
Fortunately, I'm old enough to... My mugshots are all pre-technology.
Mine too, and I do have one. But go ahead, Don. What's your take? What do you think, Don?
What just kept coming to my mind, and I lived in the Carolinas for a while, and that was the assassination of Cynthia McKinney whenever they busted her for not having her badge going up the Capitol steps, and how, with the elections coming up, she was from Georgia there, and how that mugshot can really influence an important national election like that.
Character assassination of Cynthia McKinney. I remember that as well.
How it could be used. Oh, it was just amazing, you know, to see, you know, through the South there, you know, that mugshot of Cynthia McKinney, and it says to a whole lot of people that, oh, they are guilty, and closes that person out for a lot of our more conservative friends. Mm. All right, I'll let you go there.
Thanks a lot, Don. And it's interesting, Barry, this is what I was going to say, and it's kind of like along the lines of the point that Don just brought up. One of the things that strikes me about PDXmugshots.com is, by and large, as middle-class people driving our cars or riding our $1,000 bicycles through the streets of Portland, there's whole classes of people, whole groups of people that we can pretend don't exist. And when I look at PDXmugshot.com, I can't pretend that anymore. These are all the people that my money, my tax money, is going into warehousing or popping for various things. And I do have to, well, Dave is kind of right when he says that there are classist issues here, but there are rich people that get their mugshots. There are critical, you know, upstanding citizens that we should have our eyes on that get their mugshots put out there as well. But it's like, to me, I think it's important that I feel like this is part of my neighborhood. This is part of my community, and I want to own that. And I want to know. I want to know who is getting popped and for what. And, you know, have they been charged or not, and what the charges are. I just feel really like I feel like responsible that I need to know that. Anyway, I just put that out, Barry. Yeah. I have to say, at 9 on Political, coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Political Perspectives, host Per Fogring speaks with Joshua Holland about his new book, The 15 Biggest Lies About the Economy and Everything Else the Right Doesn't Want You to Know About Taxes, Jobs, and Corporate America. At 10, it's Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, Ansel Hirz reports from Haiti on the election results beginning to be released there, and an ex-intelligence officer and an FBI whistleblower discuss their support for the WikiLeaks releases. At 11 on the Dirtbag, OSU Extension horticulturalist Weston Miller talks about OSU Master Gardener Program and its emphasis on sustainable gardening. And, oh my God, Harriet Fassenfest is going to be on. I love Harriet. She's my neighbor. Her new book is A Householder's Guide to the Universe, A Calendar of Basics for the Home and Beyond. Totally looking forward to that. And we do have a couple of callers. The number to call is 503-231-8187. We have Tony on the line. Tony, what is your take on the whole public mugshots thing?
Well, I can't believe I'm listening to KBOO, for one. I just think it's horribly unethical to have something so public and the voyeurism that can breed. I just think it's terrible. I mean, I see that, you know, you're gleaning some information for yourself out of it, but I just think it's terrible. It's the potential for, you know, ruining people's lives and making it easier for somebody's brother or cousin or friend to, you know, get information on you. And you know, if you need that information, you can go get it from the county or something. I think it's terrible.
Okay.
And I'm just surprised I haven't heard anybody else say that.
So. Well, the first caller said that as well.
Oh, I turned in just a bit late, but...
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Tony. Thanks for telling us what you think about it.
Bye.
Do you get this a lot, Barry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, quite frequently. And I really very much understand people's points on, you know, how they feel about it. And it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. Like I said, I don't really lose a lot of sleep over it. I've been able to ethically justify it to myself, and feel that, hey, you know, someone will do this, and who is that person? I don't know if I can trust them, but I know I can trust myself to at least be as right as possible, try to do the right thing, if I own this, so.
Right.
That's okay. Just kind of how I look at it, but yeah, I get it very frequently that people find it's very distasteful what I'm doing, and I understand and respect their opinion. On one hand, I wouldn't 100% disagree with them, but I don't really lose sleep over it.
You're so interesting, Barry. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. The number to call to participate in this conversation is 503-231-8187. We have Craig on the line. Craig, mugshots online, good or bad?
Oh, I actually think they do a good service for a lot of people, because I think they do the factor in punishment and such that we need more of is shaming. Unfortunately, those are mugshots only of accusations, not a conviction. So that's the problem there. But I think it does a benefit. And I also think you can't minimize small crimes, because what can happen is if you do, that person could easily move on to much, much more serious crimes. You know, you hope you catch people early on in their criminal career to discourage them from continuing that path. And I think those sites do a service for all of us in the shaming ability. And take a village to raise a person, but we all are in this together, and you are your brother's keeper, and you've got to, if they're gone on a bad path and you recognize a neighbor or friend or whatever in there, I'm going to say something to them, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think it's a good thing. The only bad part I could say is, again, this is a arrest. It's not a conviction. So you can go down that path of being judged, prejudged, when it's nothing really comes out of it. But I don't see them as a bad side at all. I think it's a good service for all of us to have.
You know what's interesting about that, Craig, and I have to say this again. This information is put out by every county sheriff's department all over the country. This stuff is all, it's been digitized, I want to say, over the past 7 years. And it's the county sheriffs that that post the mugshots for people who have not been convicted of anything. So it would be really interesting if a movement emerged of citizens and taxpayers, or, anarchists, all of us, to call up the sheriff's department and put them on the hot seat and ask them why they do that. So thanks for calling, Craig.
Okay, enjoy the show.
Yeah. It's funny, too, Barry, about what Craig said, because now, okay, so I'm the mom of two teenagers and a really wild, wacky, I have a really wild, wacky partner who, he goes out and he gets involved in things. And the one thing that I always say to my family when they leave the house, I always say, I better not see your face in Guess Who's Busted magazine. I do. I really say that. And they sit there and they hear me. And so, this whole issue of what is public accountability, what is the community, what is the public square, sometimes I feel as though some of these issues have changed over the years. And okay, so we have a couple of people that have called in with comments. One wants to say, Portland Online, which is the city website, has crime statistics archived back to 1996 online. So people who are interested in looking at whether there's been an uptick in infractions of different kinds since the economy tanked, you could go and try to figure out if you can find that in Portland Online. I'm not sure what part of Portland Online that would be. Search for crime stats is what my magical engineering pixie, always a super cool guy, just said into my ear. And another person, Barry, and I don't know if you can answer this, are FBI mugshots in the post office for arrests or convictions? Dude, you know what? Those are like people being sought. Those are people that the FBI wants to arrest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's, you know, I rarely go to the post office and look at those. I'm pretty much a digital man, hiding in my house.
Dude, you...
If I had a mom's basement, I'd be in it.
Don't say that, because that's what my daughter wants. And the answer is no, Layla. Anyway, you know what's really interesting? People should go to the FBI website, by the way, a lot more often, and look at the press releases and the information that you can find. And I think it's FBI.gov, but I'm not sure. You could go and find that. People should probably spend a little bit more time looking at what our law enforcement does and how they do it, because it's an eye-opener. And, you know, Barry, this whole thing brings me back to the issue that has really obsessed me for the past couple of weeks, is the arrest of Julian Assange. Uh-oh.
There?
Totally dead. Ha-ha! Awesome! Awesome!
We're still on.
Oh, I'm shouting because all of the lights and everything just went off, and it sounds like the, it looks like all the electricity went off in the radio station, but I've been advised that we're still on the air. So, oh, great. That was so exciting. We talk about the FBI and the lights cut out. And then I say, Julian Assange, and the lights go out. And the engineer says, that always happens. That's cool. Anyway, you are listening to KBOO Radio, and if you didn't realize, yeah, this is live radio. We're talking about mugshots, public mugshots. We're live on the air with Barry. He's the creator of pdxmugshots.com. And Barry, I was just going to bring this up. All these issues around the internet, issues of ethics and privacy, and then looking at what's happened with Julian Assange, the founder and spokesmodel for WikiLeaks. And I know that this is, I'm sure, not your purview, but what's fascinated me about this case over the past, like, months, I mean, you know, interestingly, WikiLeaks in April really grabbed the attention of the CIA and secret government of the United States when they started releasing video of this assassination that U.S. forces did in, I think it was in Iraq, but it may have been in Afghanistan. But the past few days, since Julian Assange answered the summons in the British court, he was taken into custody yesterday. You could tell that he knew that eventually he would end up in jail for whatever reason. He has not been charged, right? He was brought in for questioning. And now 4chan, right? Anonymous, the organization that is so against Scientology, and actually they're like digital vigilantes, completely fascinate me. 4chan's organization... anarchist cadre Anonymous has started, they issued like a hit list, was it yesterday or the day before, of four institutions that have attacked Julian Assange, and they announced publicly that they're just going to start dueling to destroy those organizations' web identities. And the first is PayPal. Right? And as of last night, as I was following this, PayPal's website was mostly down, so was 4chan, mostly down, and also WikiLeaks was mostly down, right? And so the other three institutions, individuals on Anonymous's hit list were that Swiss bank that shut down Julian Assange's personal checking account. It was PayPal, the Swiss bank. Oh, shoot, now I need someone to call me.
But
the fourth one fascinated me the most. It was Sarah Palin. They're going after Sarah Palin because she called a fatwa against Julian Assange and said he should be assassinated. And now that's going to bother me all day. What was the third institution? Maybe someone can call. But Barry, I mean, again, it goes back to this issue of, yeah, we have ethics. Yeah, we have a sense of privacy. But there's also a level with the internet where it's kind of a frontier. It's kind of a jungle. And what happens, happens. I mean, as a code writer, as a geek, what's your take on that?
I think that's absolutely true. It is kind of a wild kind of jungle, if you will. I mean, that's just information gets out. You know, you've got it, your privacy is a whole different thing that you've actually got to proactively protect now. And that's kind of sad. I mean, it's kind of a sad testament to, that that's just kind of how the world evolved, is that you've got to be proactive about protecting your privacy, and that includes, you know, not doing stupid stuff, you know, in public.
And I have to put this out, too. A friend of mine works in the State Employment Bureau, and she went to State Representative Lou Frederick's first, I think it's the first Saturday of every month. He has just a little breakfast meeting at Reflections Coffee. No, it's called the Talking Drum Coffee and Books over on North Killingsworth Street. And this friend of mine came to that meeting so that she could put the word out about what is it that actually is getting in the way of people getting employment, the trends that she sees as someone in the state employment office. And she didn't bring up this issue of anybody seeing anybody's pictures on in Guess Who's Busted or on PDX mugshots. What she said was that a flurry of emails are sent out to various institutions when someone is fingerprinted. When someone's fingerprinted into the sheriff's department, any sheriff's department, anywhere in the country, that it wasn't the mugshot. It was what happens when that person is input into the electronic system of the booking agency, which is usually the sheriff's department. And she talked about how many people some people have to get fingerprinted for a job. For job clearance. And there are people who have gone to their Multnomah County Sheriff's Department to get fingerprinted for a security clearance. And when they do that, it sends out an electronic message and creates a document on them. And where people who are human resources officers in a corporate setting or even in a government setting, she said that now new young people have been hired that don't know how to read the codes. So are getting blackballed, as they say, for getting their security clearance because the people in the agencies don't know how to read the documents. Really interesting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just when people talk about the ethics and the privacy of PDX mugshots or any of these sheriff's agencies. Believe it or not, there is a whole invisible array of electronic impulses and documents that go out there that you never even see. So I just think that's something important to put out to people as well. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. The number to call is 503-231-8187. And we have Frank on the line. Frank, the electricity went off as soon as I said FBI. So don't say that. Frank, you're on the air.
Thank you. Good morning. I won't. I just wanted to comment on the whole mugshot thing. I think it's just another encroachment on our liberties, on our privacy by the powers that be. It's these little, you know, turn the water up 1 degree more and we'll boil a frog. And I do remember reading somewhere years ago that in order for you to be photographed and fingerprinted, it has to be after a conviction. But it seems like that's put to the side and forgotten all too frequently.
I don't know where you read that, but see, I don't think that we'll all agree that that's not the way law enforcement operates, for sure not.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Yeah, anyway. Well, thanks a lot for calling, Frank.
Thank you.
You know, so we just have a few minutes left. I'm so interested in the work that you do, Barry. I'm still, like, scratching my head about how you or why you even started this website. It sounds like it was a lark, which is hilarious. But, the engineer just brought in something for people who are interested in information online. Wiki Scoops basically is looking at tons of juicy junk about terrorism that is all about digital trails. And, you know, I've been really fascinated the past couple weeks where I've seen the people debating about the information that WikiLeaks has released, the diplomatic cables, all these other things, the expected upcoming release of the contents of some banker's hard drive. Nobody knows all the details yet. All the people who are ready to say that we, the people, don't have a right to know that information. Like, there's, you know, in the New York Times today, there was a number of articles about how the U.S. government is going to start framing this attempt to try to bring charges against Julian Assange, which is fascinating. But, Barry, I mean, okay, last few minutes of the show, what is your take on information? You know, what should people do with the information that we have, you know, and how does it change us?
You know, I mean, you can look at so many different levels. We have more access to more information now than ever, but if you look at people's, like, say, Facebook pages, you wouldn't think they've learned a damn thing. Like, people almost seem dumber because of it, you know?
Farmville, yeah.
It's really interesting how that I mean, all this information is out there, and it's accessible, and we should be digesting it. We should be looking at it and, you know, kind of figuring out for ourselves, okay, where do we go from here? You know, what do we do? You know, what do we do with this information? How do we, as, you know, as a society, better ourselves with all this information that's available? And yet, it's kind of weird. I don't really see that really happening. You know, it's more, this is good stuff. I knew it. And then, you know, just kind of right back to how we do things.
Mm. Yeah, and to me, sometimes it makes me think about the way we're educated, the public education system. We're not really, I guess it's up to families and communities to educate the young people about society and what society's all about. But my daughter last night, she's a teenager, she was reading the booking documents for that teenager that the FBI arrested from Oregon State. And she was reading the booking document, it's a 35-page document, and she read through the whole thing, and she just kept crying out. She was so shocked at the details of the way it had all the emails, and you know, she's almost the same age as that kid, and she was shocked that more people at her high school aren't talking about it, you know, our digital lives. But anyway, Barry, how can people find out more about pdxmugshots.com? Can people dialogue with you about it? Let people know how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, there's, I've got my email address on there, and that's the way I work the best. I work the best over email. I prefer not to. I know this, the irony does not miss me that I operate this thing anonymously, so, but, you know, that's, I really don't want a brick thrown through my front window or my wife harassed, so, I generally, you know, talk to people via email. I do get a lot of threatening emails, never had any death threats. But I get a lot of legal threats, but I welcome that kind of dialogue. I love to kind of, you know, argue with people a little bit. People who find what I do distasteful, I'll talk to them a little bit, and vice versa. Some people I had one guy who was just absolutely just livid with me. His daughter had appeared on there, and he was, like any good father would, you know, just watching out for his daughter and being protective, and he emailed me this ranting email, you know, about how evil I was and how I was going to burn in hell. And by the end of the dialogue, he was asking me to keep his daughter's picture up.
Wow. Barry, we're going to have to leave it there.
Barry,
pdxmugshots.com. Thanks a lot for being with us. And stay tuned for Political Perspectives. You're listening to KBOO Portland.